This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, we are a conference and we are being recorded. Welcome. Good to have you here. According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our growth comes through the scriptures. Open your Bibles as we get started in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 this morning. We're looking at verses 2 through 6, the first part of the chapter. We're handling verses 2 through 6 and then verses 7 and following. Verses 2 through 6 contain a pair of exhortations, as we're told to devote yourselves and conduct yourselves. So there's a pair of exhortations in verses 2 through 6. This begins the conclusion to the epistle, and then the lengthy conclusion itself in verses 7 through 18 with various personal notes and really some marvelous principles that we can glean from those verses. And we're not just going to race through and say, okay, we're done. There's significant content we're going to glean out of verses 7 through 18. So we'll handle both of those. All right, so before we do get started, let's open with a word of prayer, calling upon our Father and his faithfulness to bless our time of study in his word. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time together. And we can't meet together in person, Father, or we chose not to risk it because of the ice on the roads and the weather conditions being what they are. But Father, thank you for teaching us how to meet remotely and the blessings we've had through the pandemic to learn how to do go-to meetings, learn how to create a YouTube channel and different things. You've taught us these skills, and so they come in handy today where we can stay home and stay safe and stay warm and yet still meet together for the study of your word, for the edification of the saints. We call upon your faithfulness now this hour that you would open the eyes of our understanding and bless our time of study. We thank you and we praise you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. And so as we work on Colossians chapter 4 and work our way through this devote yourself passage, we see that it's a prayer application. Devote yourselves to prayer. Prayer needs to be a corporate devotion. And it is a plural verb. It is a all of y'all, second person plural, devote yourselves to prayer. And so as we corporate meaning not a capitalistic corporation, but a body, that we are a body of believers in Christ, that we pray as a body and we pray as a devotion. And so we've been working our way through the principles here related to proskartereo, a verb of standing ready, to be always at the disposal, as a boat was made ready for Jesus to cross the Sea of Galilee there in Mark 3:9, and where you are devoted, that this is your purpose. And if we're devoted to prayer, then that means we're here ready to pray at a moment's notice, that this is our calling. We stand ready for these kind of prayers at a moment's notice. And so the verb proskartereo and the noun proskarteresis that's in Ephesians 6:18, speaking of the readiness at all times. You're at the disposal. Devoted prayer is alert prayer. If you're not devoted, then you're not alert. You're asleep at the switch. And you've got to be ready at a moment's notice to drop everything and get to prayer. This is the impact of this. And I do like the Gregoreo imperatives as they're found related to a lot of things, related to dangers and snares, related to affliction, related to the adversary, like in 1 Peter 5, your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion. So we're to be on the alert. We're to be awake. The warning that comes in Acts chapter 20, to be on alert for the wolves, the savage wolves that can come in, not sparing the flock, but also to be alert when one of the fellow elders goes off the rails. And Paul warns them in Acts chapter 20 that they have to be on alert against even themselves. Let me get my floating Bible window up here so you can see what we're doing. Where did it go? There it is. And so the floating window here, hopefully y'all can see that. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, this is Paul's farewell message to the elders at Ephesus. And he called the elders of the church to come to his location in, because he didn't want to spend the time there in Ephesus. So they come down to meet him at Miletus. But he says, to be on the alert for themselves even. And this was the thing that they had to be on guard against. But be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And as he goes on and describes the things that they need to be aware of, the specific warning comes a little bit earlier there. Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So when he starts by saying, be on guard for yourselves, that's the first item. And then he says, secondly, and for all the flock. And the first thing they're going to be looking out for is themselves. And which one of them might be tempted in the light of Paul's departure, which one of them or more, maybe more than one, which ones of them might be tempted to come in and become the wolf themselves, as it says. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. And that's the real danger, too. Not only the external attacks, but the internal apostasy from your own selves. And the danger of a fellow elder, of somebody that decides to split the church and take a group with them and draw away disciples after themselves in a personality cult type following. So we've all got to be on the alert. And this is where corporate prayer helps. And this is where like-mindedness is promoted through the exercise of corporate prayer. And so those things need to be prayed for. And then the context of Colossians 4, where we currently are, not only are we told to be on the alert in prayer, but it goes on in verses 3 and 4 to say, praying at the same time for us as well. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the open door opportunities, not only our open door opportunities at Austin Bible Church, but also the connected ministries that we know, that we support, that we love, that we partner with in the endeavors of the broader body of Christ. And so Colossians 4 verses 3 and 4 says, for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word. So praying for open door opportunities and going through every open door that Jesus places before us and not going through the open doors that he places before other people besides us, okay? Not every open door is our open door. So we need to realize which doors are ours and which doors are others. And we pray for all of them, the ones that we go through and the ones that others go through, as we recognize the Lord is the head of the church, and he's in charge of every ministry, not just the Austin Bible Church ministry. So that's part of what I want to get to today. And then also what we dealt with on Wednesday night, the dispensationally correct perspectives of eschatological events, that we need to have our eyes open. So many times when the Bible has a Gregoretto expectation, it's expecting for believers to be dispensationally correct, to have the right perspective. And we don't want to be taking Israel's warnings and trying to apply them. We're not Israel, we're the church. So we don't confuse rapture with second advent. We want to have dispensationally correct perspectives. And it's just sad to me the way that there are ministries out there that are blending Israel and the church, that are trying to replace Israel with the church. And then they end up with a very muddled eschatological view, because they can't rightly divide the word of truth. They can't distinguish between the rapture and the second advent. They're fearful of the church going through the tribulation, which is just ludicrous. The church isn't going through the tribulation. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. We're not Jacob. We're not Israel. And, you know, it makes about as much sense to be afraid of the tribulation as it does to be afraid of Noah's flood. You know, none of us are afraid of Noah's flood, right? Because that's over and done with, and it's not our judgment. It's not our dispensation. So if you are dispensationally oriented correctly, if you are trained to distinguish between these issues, then I think that helps you from those other struggles. All right, which now gets us to main point C, where we ran out of time on Wednesday. Ministries should pray for their own assignments and at the same time maintain devoted prayer for other connected ministries. Ministries should pray for their own assignments and at the same time maintain devoted prayer for other connected ministries. And by the way, we learned not quite a year ago. It was back in April and I guess March, April, and May when we were kicked out of our building and before we could return back. So you might recall from back when we were doing this before that you have an opportunity now to do a screenshot, right? You can save this slide. And as you save this slide, then you'll have your own JPEG image or whatever you save it as in your hard drive. And you have these notes available to you. All right. Other connected ministries besides Austin Bible Church. So, what other connected ministries do we have? We have, Grace Notes, for example, as our internet outreach ministry. And we can be praying for the Grace Notes ministry and praying for more workers to come alongside and be engaged in the Grace Notes ministry that, Warren and Ethel have been praying for years now, wanting to hand this off. And who's going to take Grace Notes in the next generation when Warren's in heaven? What's going to happen with the African training ministries that are taking place and the prisoners and the others that send in quizzes by email and things of that nature. So pray for that ministry. Pray for other Bible churches. Pray for Lost Pines Bible Church. Pray for all the Poimenike prayer lists that we maintain with other pastors and churches around the country and around the world. What is a connected ministry? And this is what I want to slow down and start walking us through on this basis, because Paul is asking for these prayers. When he says, pray for us as well, what's the connection between Paul and Colossae? If Paul had never been to Colossae, why is he writing to them now? How did they reach out to him? What was the connection? What is it that brought these believers in Colossae to Paul's attention? And so as we've been studying it, we go all the way back to chapter 1, and we see the reference that's made here with Epaphras, and we find that not only is Epaphras going to be mentioned later in this chapter, he's going to be part of the greetings lower on here in chapter 4. There he is in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. So this is what we talk about when we talk about connected ministries. And part of what we're going to try to glean from the New Testament and part of what we're going to try to make our own application in as far as Austin Bible Church is concerned, and why do we have certain churches that are listed on our Poimenike list and other churches are not listed on our Poimenike list? And right now you're saying, what's a Poimenike list? All right, well, relax. It comes from the noun poimen, which means shepherd. It's an adjectival form meaning shepherding, characterized by a shepherding application. And so I gave it that name and coined it myself. The Poimenike prayer list that we do, we've got 114 or 116 churches on our prayer list, and we're going to go over the summer. We're going to have a special Poimenike prayer meeting time, probably on Sunday nights, probably after, in the evening, after we do our Grace Notes class in the afternoon. But we're going to get together here on GoToMeeting, and we're going to fellowship, and we're going to search through the prayer list and be able to update it, because it's 2 years now out of date, and we know there's some churches that have closed down and other new ministries have started. So we want to be able to improve what we're doing there on that. But why do we list some ministries and not others? How come we pray for Pastor Cliff, for Pastor Dan, we pray for Pastor Theme, we pray for all these other pastors, but we don't pray, how come Benny Hinn doesn't make our list? How come some of these other ministries don't make our list? What is the requirement to make our list? And it's a pass-fail criteria. And why is it that some are listed and some are not? What's the criteria for that? You know, does it mean that I don't think they're really pastors or they're really churches? No, there's thousands of churches all over the country. We can't list all of them, and we don't try to list all of them. But the ones that we do list, we list for a reason, okay? Because they're committed to, maybe they've got like if you're familiar with the ICE acronym, they're isagogical, categorical, exegetical. We know that there are serious Bible ministries that are dedicated to verse-by-verse exegetical teaching. They probably have links or connections to Baraka Church, not all of them. They may have links or connections to, well, they all better have a link or connection to Austin Bible Church. But what is that link? What is that connection? Why do we prioritize them as, you know, out of all the thousands of pastors in Texas and the United States and all around the world, why is it these 114 that we focus on? Where are these the pastors that we make sure get prayed for at least once a week? In our prayer list. So let's look at these verses and see if we can glean some clues. Okay, starting with Colossians 4:3-4. Well, we got some clues here, and then when we see Epaphras, who is one of your number. So before he came to Paul, before he came to where Paul was when he was in prison writing this letter, he had been with the Colossians. In fact, he founded this church. He planted this lampstand. He used to be their pastor. He was their founding pastor. He is one of your number. So we realize, hey, this is a good basis for maintaining a membership list and keeping it current and realizing who is still with us and who has departed. And when they did depart, where did they go? And are we staying in touch with them so that we can be praying for them? Are they in a different ministry now, a connected ministry now? And if they are connected, what is the basis of that connection? Do we still keep touch with them? Do we still keep them in prayer? Do we support them? Did they actually leave us so they could pursue full-time missionary work or evangelism ministry or other such things? See, when Pastor Cliff left us, it was to plant Lost Pines Bible Church. And so we understand why Cliff and Terry don't attend Austin Bible Church anymore. It's because he's the pastor of Lost Pines Bible Church. And so that's a connected ministry. We stay in touch. We love them. We pray for them. They pray for us. And this is how this works. So Epaphras left Colossae, went to Paul's location. And we see he was mentioned actually back in chapter 1. He also gets mentioned in Philemon. But in chapter 1, Paul, you might remember this, we give thanks to God. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard, this isn't gossip, this is legitimate, the sharing of prayer concerns, this is the connecting of ministries. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world also. It is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. On our behalf. He also informed us of your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras was one of their numbers, but came to Paul and is now serving. He is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. He now is on board Paul's ministry. He planted the church in Colossae, but now he's with Paul, and he's serving Paul in this capacity. And he informed us of your love in the Spirit. So he let Paul know of a church in Colossae that Paul can be praying for. And so he says, we haven't ceased. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So it's the ministry of Epaphras. That's the connection. Epaphras, the founding pastor of Colossae, who has left Colossae and has come to where Paul is located, I think Ephesus, where Paul is now located. He's now serving the Apostle Paul. And this then forms the connection. And this is what makes a connected ministry. And so Paul starts to pray for those believers. He starts to write a letter to those believers. There's going to be another connection as well, and that's the runaway slave Onesimus. Now there's two connections. There's the Epaphras connection, and there's the Onesimus connection. So now with two connections to the between Paul and these believers in Colossae, Paul is now led to pray for them. Paul is now led to write letters to them. The Holy Spirit inspires those letters to be placed in our Bibles. We have a book of Philemon and a book of Colossians now that are part of our New Testament because of these connected ministries and the prayer devotion that gets introduced based upon the need for prayer for connected ministries. Again, the point is ministry should pray for their own assignments and at the same time maintain a devoted prayer for other connected ministries. And this is what we see makes these good connections. All right, now we're going to see other things that make good connections as well. The parallel text to Colossians 4, remember Ephesians is a sister epistle to Colossians. And so the parallel text to Colossians 4 comes in Ephesians 6. And we get down to verses 18 through 20. After we get through the armor of God passage, the verses that precede this is the armor of God section here. That's not found in Colossians. But put on the full armor of God, so you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And taking up the full armor. We'll get to this when we get to Ephesians. Part of why I think Colossians came first and Ephesians was an expansion is, why would Paul leave this out of Colossians if he'd already written it to the Ephesians? And then does he not think that the Colossae needs this kind of equipping as well? Anyway, I think that Colossians was written first, and then after sending Colossians and Philemon with Tychicus at a subsequent period of time, a month later, a couple months later, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write a larger treatise called Ephesians. And using much of the Colossians material, he writes this book, the book of Ephesians. All right. So after we get through the armor elements, then in verse 18, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert. So that's very much the same theme that we have in Colossians, where we have a devotion to prayer, that we are alert in our prayers. But it's more than just our own ministry. It's for all the saints. Pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. All the saints. Does that mean every born-again believer on the planet? Well, yes. when you have perseverance and prayer for all the saints, then sure, every believer, certainly every believer that we know of, every believer that we hear about, when we learn that there's persecution going on in Nigeria, we don't know every believer in Nigeria or every believer in Cameroon, but we know a few. So we pray for the ones we know about by name, and then we pray broadly for brothers and sisters that are struggling under the persecution in the various places where they are. And then he goes on to say, and pray on my behalf. So again, he makes it personal. And he's talking about a connected ministry. Pray on my behalf. that utterance may be given to me. And part of this is going to be interesting, too, because this is the book of Ephesians. And we believe that Paul had several imprisonments in Ephesus. But now he's writing from an Ephesus imprisonment to saints in Ephesus that he can't fellowship with, he can't meet personally, because he's locked up. Or there were also seasons that he spent in hiding when he was in an undisclosed Dick Cheney-type location, the undisclosed location in hiding, and even his own church members didn't know where he was. Maybe only one trusted servant knew where he was. And so he would write letters, even to his own church in Ephesus, from an imprisonment in Ephesus, or a season of hiding in Ephesus. And some of those discussions we have to understand as well. So stay tuned for that. There's going to be a remarkable introduction to the book of Ephesians that will supplement what we've already studied as an introduction to Philippians, Colossians. All right. Anyway, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains or under bonds, that in proclaiming I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so there are some epistles that are very obviously prison epistles. There are other prison epistles that are not as obvious, but still give the indication. And an ambassador in chains, this phrase here, literally a chain, an ambassador with a chain. And there's other indications that Ephesians belongs with Colossians and Philippians as a prison epistle. There are some prison epistles where he mentions the Praetorian Guard. And then there's other prison epistles where it seems like his bonds are of a different sort. And so we're left then to wonder, based upon things he says later, about multiple imprisonments in different kinds and different places. So anyway, we'll discuss that as the introduction to Ephesians and what makes Ephesians different than Colossians. Anyway, but he's asking for these saints to be praying for his ministry as a connected ministry. And the principle is there. And the recognition is one of the things that might connect us is the hardship that we go through, the conflict that we face, the fact that when the police come looking for us and they want to know, like in Acts chapter 20, and they come looking for us. Actually, let me go to Acts 19, because we want to find a no small disturbance that arises. And then they start looking for Paul, and they can't find him. And so they start dragging other people into the marketplace. Let me get down here. I will find this. Here we go, verse 23. No small disturbance. So about that time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines in Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. Okay? So no small disturbance based upon no little business. And you know, it's kind of a diplomatic way of describing things, but Paul's ministry runs afoul of the worldly-minded businessmen and the idol worshippers in Ephesus. And Demetrius realizes that his livelihood is in danger if a significant population of Ephesus stops worshiping Artemis and gets saved, that getting saved and following Christ is damaging to his business. So he decides to do something about it. And they stir up an issue here. They even get the politicians involved. And verse 28, when they heard this, they were filled with rage and began crying out, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And the city was filled with confusion. So they rushed with one accord to the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. Now, why did they grab those guys? Why didn't they grab Paul? Well, they can't find Paul. And Paul wanted to go to the assembly, but the disciples would not let him. So now Paul is under a bond. He's under a different kind of bond. Paul is under a constraint. And it's not literal chains. Maybe it was. I don't know. Timothy and Epaphras, maybe they tied him up. I don't know. The disciples would not let him. And whatever the thing was, so Gaius and Aristarchus now have to represent Paul, and they take the heat. They take the conflict here in this respect. And because Paul wanted to go in there, they wouldn't let him. So some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and repeatedly urged him not to venture into the theater. So they get word. And even the term Asiarchs, we're talking about the politicians here, those that had secular authority as delegated by the Roman Empire, Ephesus being a senatorial province at this time. And so they get word. They get word to Paul through some friends. And so then some were shouting one thing and some another, for this assembly, this ecclesia, this mob, this church. Okay, it's the same word we use for Austin Bible Church, for any church. It's an ecclesia. But this is an ecclesia that's just assembled together. They're not even sure why, except they're angry and they're in confusion. And the majority did not know for what reason they had come together. I trust that the 29 people that we have together on GoToMeeting this morning, you know why you're here, and because you got an email or a message or a word, and so you're here for reasons that you are aware of. You're here to be fed. These guys don't even know why they're there. Anyway, shouting one thing, shouting another. Some of the crowd concluded it was Alexander, and so Alexander stands up, and anyway, they quiet the town, and they cause this trouble. So Demetrius takes the lead on this. And anyway, the problem is they don't want the disorder to cause trouble. They don't want the Romans coming in and putting an end to it. And this is the issue here. So if you want anything beyond this, it should be settled in the lawful assembly. We're not going to have mob justice. And we don't want to be accused of a riot in connection with today's events, since there's no real cause for it. And so they send him home. After this, he dismissed the assembly and cut them loose. And so after the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples. He couldn't show his face. They had to come to him, to his undisclosed location. And then he had to depart for Macedonia. All right, so those are the details. And based upon those details, we have to kind of read between the line. We have to, we can glean some principles. But I think in this context, then, it's pretty evident that this shared experience of conflict, this shared experience of adversarial ugliness by the city leaders, the politicians, and the mob, is such that this is an event that's going to connect ministries in a way that nothing else can. That this kind of persecution will connect a ministry and the things that you go through. You know, the exercise our flock went through in building the new church building and dealing with the city and all the hostility of what the city put before us and the added expenses that they added to our budget. And I was just so thankful that we had that John Carnegie was our deacon chairman at that time, because he was so patient and so steady and so calm and so I can't think of a better deacon chairman to take us through those troubled waters, because you know, I would have flipped a wig and gone off the rails, and I'd have been so mad at the mayor and the government and all the rest of that. But John had a steady hand and brought us through. And then the Lord faithfully provided. We have a detention pond that we drive past every time we park, and that detention pond that filters the rainwater, you know, is three times the size and three times the expenses it originally was supposed to be. And although I fuss about it to this day, our Father was faithful to provide, and he was able to afford it. And so here we are. And thank you, Lord. Anyway, conflict will forge bonds for prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And so we have the prayers between ministries, connected ministries. Paul's connections with the Thessalonians was pretty short-lived. He was only there for 3 weeks, and then he had to leave, and then he was able to sneak Timothy back into town because he was just a boy anyway. He's not going to draw a lot of attention. And he could go in there and teach doctrine and bring letters from Paul and so forth. But there's a connection between ministries with past places that Paul had been, past ministries that he had founded. And those are the connections, you know. Anytime if the Lord was to bring Ralph Braun back to town, well, then by all means, yeah, I'm going to put him up in the pulpit and let him speak because he pastored this flock for 14 years, you know. In fact, he's the last living pastor because Bill Dorman's with the Lord, Bill McMillan's with the Lord. So Ralph and I are the last. There's only been four pastors in the history of Austin Bible Church, and two of us are in heaven already. So these are the things that will connect ministries. Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And when he describes his struggles, and there's some that are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, others from goodwill. And some people have the wrong reasons for why they're preaching the gospel. And Paul says, well, either way, Christ is glorified. And then he says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. This will turn out for my rescue through your prayers. Notice that it's a vehicle, it's a mechanism. Through your prayers. If the Philippians don't pray, Paul doesn't get rescued. He realizes that the connection there has a value through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put ashamed in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Again, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. But we have the connections between the ministries here. The church at Philippi, Paul had been jailed in Philippi. He'd been released. The jailer got saved. His church is still thriving. Now he's in jail again in a different place, but he's writing to the Philippians. We've got connections between ministries, and connected ministries need to stay in prayer one to another. And there's benefit, there's value in there. 2 Corinthians 1, this is maybe the most explicit of all. And this helps us to read between the lines in that Acts 19 material we're looking at just a few minutes ago. All right. He says, we do not want you to be unaware, brethren. So this actually gets written right on the heels of when we stopped reading in Acts chapter 20, when he departed from there and with no small disturbance, and he leaves Ephesus and he goes off to Macedonia. When he gets to Macedonia, he finally meets Titus, and Titus tells him that Corinth is still good to go. And then in complete thankfulness, Paul will sit down and start writing the details that we see here in 2 Corinthians. So when we read about this, that's the context. We do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction. We do not want you to be unaware of our affliction. And this is tough. This is really, really tough. When I'm teaching today, many of these principles are a struggle for a lot of believers, particularly if you've got a theme background or a categorical background, because what happens is when the colonel taught the doctrine of privacy, and when that doctrine got inflated into concepts far beyond anything that Colonel Thieme ever taught, all right, the doctrine of privacy became the doctrine of butt out, none of your business, leave me alone, okay? And that excuse started to get made where it would defy principles like this, where believers in the name of the doctrine of privacy would rewrite this verse to say, we want you to be unaware of our afflictions because it's between us and the Lord and it's none of your business. Go away, butt out. And that is an unbiblical perversion. That is a twisting. I would even say it's a heresy or an apostasy if it gets abused in that way. And if you want to know more about that, 3:30, we're going to talk about heresy and apostasy in the Grace Notes class. So stay tuned for that. But Paul says, we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia. And when he says in Asia, he's talking about his 3 years in Ephesus, when he wrote Philippians, when he wrote Colossians, when he wrote Ephesians, when he wrote Philemon, the conflict whereby he was imprisoned multiple times, when he was thrown to the lions, different aspects there. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength so that we despaired even of life. There was a whole lot more than just the Demetrius episode where Gaius and where these they get dragged in there. There were other sentences of death that he faced. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead. So when he was thrown to lions, when he was thrown to the wild beasts at Ephesus, the governing authority sentenced him to death. And he internalized that. He took that death sentence and placed it within himself. And he had to stand before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm ready. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death. Obviously, he was rescued from that because he lived to write 2 Corinthians. Delivered us from so great a peril of death, and he will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us again and again and again. You might remember if you were with us in the 2 Corinthians series that there is the past deliverance, and then there is the near future deliverance. He will deliver us, and then there is the far future deliverance. He will yet deliver us. And there will come a day that will come the ultimate deliverance when we physically die and go to be at home with the Lord. And the last rescue we ever have from all of our sin, all of our troubles, all of our temptations, all of our struggles, all of our attacks and afflictions, the very last rescue any of us ever get is when he takes us home through physical death or rapture and brings us into the immediate glory of Jesus Christ. But then you'll notice, rescue, 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 you also joining in helping us through your prayers. Isn't that beautiful? You also joining in helping us through your prayers. When you talk about connected ministries, you talk about connected endeavors, you talk about connected work assignments, okay? In studying this material, in reading these verses, in preparing these slides, in all of the ministry that I personally poured into preparing this message, nobody was sitting here with me in the mine and helping me put the slide together, but you all were when you were praying for me. See, we pray for your pastor, pray for his study, pray for his preparation, pray for his ministry, pray for his rescue, the rescue, 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 again and again and again. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. This becomes a thanksgiving hallelujah chorus, because it's not just one guy's answer to prayer, it's everybody's answer to prayer. Many persons on our behalf for the grace, that's what favor is, for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Again, through, that means it's a vehicle, it's a mechanism, it's a method, through the prayers of many. And multiplied prayers, multiplied voices, you think about the chorus that goes up, you think about the harmonies that can happen when you have multiple voices. It's not just a single voice. As marvelous as a single voice can be, you blend that voice with a second voice, with a third voice, with a fourth voice. You get four-part harmony going. You get a whole choir in action. And the sound of many waters, the blessings that we have with our heavenly singing and praying and everything that we do in the heavenly dimensions. It's a marvelous thing to consider. But here we have connected ministries between Colossae and Paul. Of course, the Colossian church was another church, and they had a lot of conflict, and they had a lot of issues. In fact, 3/4 of that church weren't really big fans of Paul. The only 1/4 of the church was the Paul followers there when they became so schismatic. All right, Romans 15, verses 30 through 32. I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. This is a flock, like Colossae. He'd never been to Rome. He knew some of these people by name, knew some of these other ones by past connections. Priscilla and Aquila, he knew because they had been driven out of Rome. And when he met them in Colossae, they were expelled from Rome. And so he got to know them then. On that occasion, then when they were able to return to Rome, he had a connection. It made the Roman church a connected ministry. The connection with Priscilla and Aquila, the desire for Paul to go there someday. So strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. He was going to take a relief fund to Jerusalem, although he suspected that when he arrived in town, that he was going to be arrested. And so he wants the believers in Rome to be praying for that, because he wants to go and join the believers in Rome someday. That I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. This is his prayer. Never been there. Wanted to go there. But he was bound and determined to go to Jerusalem first. And then God bound and determined to send him to Rome, where he should have gone in the first place. Okay. My opinion, my theory, that Paul was wrong to go to Jerusalem. He should have gone to Rome. But that's something else we'll study. So it's a connected ministry. Hebrews 13. We just wrapped up a Hebrews study. Remember this? Because after he talks about the different ways that they can bear fruit, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. When you're offering up praise, you're offering up a sweet smelling savor. You're offering up a sacrifice. Doing good and sharing with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. They are giving an account to God. They're not giving an account to you. Pray for them. Obey them. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And pray for us. So you can pray for your leaders, but then also pray for us. Pray for connected ministry. And in this case, it's the author of Hebrews and his team. We are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. You know, it's pretty sad. I don't know if you've been exposed to this or not, but Ravi Zacharias' ministry, and Ravi's with the Lord now. He died last year, but things have come out after he died that are pretty sad. And you find out that, you know, he was a sinner. There's a shock. And that that his sin was of a sexual nature. You know, well, there's a shock. Men have issues. We're all sinners, okay? And for some men, the sin is obvious, and for others, the sin follows after. And in Robbie's case, the sin followed after, and now it's being exposed, and now the ministry is testifying to things that they need to testify to. And anyway, it's a reminder that everybody needs prayer, and we don't pray enough, and we don't pray hard enough in different ways. So anyway, if you're not aware of that, I'm not going to point you to it, but there are YouTube videos, and they've released statements, the Ravi Zacharias International Ministry, the RZIM, and it's still a great ministry. The apologetic material, it's sad that his legacy is now tarnished, but it shouldn't be. He's a sinner saved by grace, and the apologetic material that he put out there is worthwhile. I'm going to keep using it, and I'm not going to burn all my Ravi Zacharias books because after he died, some of his sins got exposed. All right. I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, Let's get past this slide. Let's start looking at some of the subpoints on this. So ministry should pray for their own assignments, at the same time maintain devoted prayer for other connected ministries. This principle is not a call for denominationalism, but a recognition of the variety of connections between ministers and ministries. Okay? And when you realize that we all have ministries, that we all minister, that every believer priest has a gift, has ministry, and has effects, that these varieties connect all of us. And the interconnectedness between all members of the body is what every joint supplies. This is the interconnectedness of the body. See? And we saw some of this in Philippians. We see some of this in Colossians. We're going to see more of this in Ephesians. But this is where we're all interconnected members of a body. We're not calling for denominationalism, and we're not looking for, I'm not going to move that Austin Bible Church join a denomination or form a denomination. In fact, there have been discussions by various pastors going back decades, and from the 50s to the 60s into the 70s, and while he was alive, Colonel Thiem had to stomp every effort to try to create a Baraka denomination. Even though he trained a lot of men and he influenced a lot of men and he impacted a lot of pastors, hundreds of pastors, thousands of pastors, that would all credit R.B. Thiem for their grounding, for their, I know countless pastors that were ready to leave the ministry, that ended up, the colonel urged them and encouraged them, and a new fire was lit. And they got 40 years of ministry beyond where they thought they were going to quit because of Pastor Thiem. But he had to resist the call for denominationalism and on into the 70s and the 80s. When I was first ordained, there was discussions, related to, okay, we don't want to form a denomination, but should we have a free will association, a fellowship of pastors? Well, don't we already have that? Well, yeah, but should we not formalize it? Well, how formal do you want to get? You know, we have an informal association. We get together at various conferences and whatnot. But I think there's value. And as we work our way through the summer, here's what we're going to do. As we work our way through the summer and as we update our Poimenike prayer list, as we make sure that we have that we have not only a list, but with that list is going to come a database of emails and phone numbers for these pastors, for these, not the churches, we're not linking the churches together, but for these pastors of these churches, so that we can stay in touch with one another, so we can share prayer requests, so that we can maybe even on our Faith Life page, we can have a group for these pastors to upload their prayer requests. So then when they upload the prayer request, we see it because we're part of the group and we immediately see this request. If Pastor Cliff puts something in there, if Mike Smith loses two deacons to COVID, we want to know about it. And if he has to do back-to-back funerals for two deacons in the same week, we want to know about it so we can be praying for it and pray for a flock that just lost two deacons and these things. So anyway, it's not a call for denominationalism, but again, as we see the connections, as we talk about it here from the context of Colossians 2:1, I want you to know the struggle. I want you to know the struggle. Not only know what it is, but how great it is. And it's going to be on behalf of somebody else, on your behalf, okay? And occasionally we get these emails, and I like them every time they come up. And, somebody sends out a request, pray for my mother-in-law, pray for my neighbor's coworker, pray for, you know, and I love it. And I go to the Lord in prayer, and I say, Father, I want to pray for my church members, neighbors, coworkers, nephew, Okay. And here's a total stranger. I've never met this person. I probably won't ever, you know, till the trumpet, or maybe not even then. I might not meet him till the trumpet, or I might not meet him till the great white throne judgment. But either way, I'm going to pray for him. And all the links in between. Because I have a church member that's concerned about a neighbor. And so I pray that this church member has a testimony to the neighbor, that they can testify to the value of prayer and to the word of God and the importance of walking in the light. And then that neighbor can testify to the coworker that, hey, people are praying for you. People you've never met are praying for you. And that coworker can pray to the nephew. And all these links work together. And man, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And it's a marvelous thing. And we can pray with a sanctified ignorance, because if we don't know what to pray, we just name it before the Lord and trust that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf with the groanings too deep for understanding. And we have the blessing there. So we're not calling for a denomination. We're calling for better identification. And each link along the way has the opportunity to be the object of our prayers. There are a variety of connections between ministers and ministries, and we realize the ones that we're like-minded with, the ones we have fellowship with, the ones that I'm thrilled, like when I go to Schaefer next month, I'm thrilled to see these men again. Most of them I haven't seen since last year at Schaefer, and I'm thrilled to touch base with them, and iron sharpens iron, and we can strengthen each other and pray for each other and learn what the struggles are. And these are the connections, and the ones we're closest to, theologically and ministry philosophically, okay? I have very little like-mindedness with the female lesbian pastor of the Metropolitan Church of whatnot, okay? In fact, I've got nothing in what fellowship, what has light with darkness, what harmony hath Christ with Belial, but I have less fellowship with the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Presbyterians. It is not because of their denominations, because of the philosophical differences in how we approach shepherding our flocks. But I got so much like-mindedness with Lost Pines, with Corpus Christi, with Spokane Bible Church, Fredericksburg, with all these other places. And so it's good to visit with them and share the prayer items and share the struggles. So these are the variety of connections, okay? You know, and a pastor that's sitting down and studying the Greek and the Hebrew, that's feeding his flock line upon line, a pastor that's 200 lessons into, when I meet a pastor who taught 155 lessons on the prodigal son's older brother, man, well, I tell you, I've got a kinship, I've got a love, I've got a like-mindedness. Let's sit down, tell me about it, okay? You know, some of these other denominations and ministries and things, and, you know, I don't have the like-mindedness. I don't have the affinity. I don't have the connections with the liberals, the theological liberals, the denominations where the Bible is held in such low regard that they feel they have to update the Bible to ordain gays and ordain women and to officiate homosexual marriages and all. You know, they want to tell me about the gay marriage they just officiated. You know, I'm going to listen to what you tell me because I don't want to be rude or whatever, but I have no affinity with that. What do I have to fellowship with in that? See, you're living in defiance of the scriptures. So this is what we're dealing with. Not calling for a denomination. Here's something that's always appropriate, open door prayers. Open door prayers. We looked at most of these. Well, no. I tried to create a separate list on this. 1 Corinthians 2 overlaps, but most of these are different. Open door prayers are always appropriate. And we love open door opportunities. We don't pout. We don't grump. We don't get offended if we learn that this other local church is, oh, wow, I am over time. Thank you for that. All right. I'm losing track of time. Okay. It's 10:30. Thank you for that. Remind me then. We'll pick up here. Oh, this is terrible. All right. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the class. We thank you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.